To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more for a special investigation into some of the meanest and greenest of orcs to be found in the grim darkness of the 41st millennium. It would be impossible to estimate the sheer level of destruction wrought unto the galaxy by the gnarled hands of the greenskin menace, but we can safely say that since their first introduction into our stars, that they have existed as a truly brutal and unshakable plague. The orcs will claim untold thousands of worlds with each passing century, with their violent warpath drowning out the cosmos in an unstoppable horde, fueled only by their singular passion for war. Despite their abject barbarism, we have noted that within their vast tribes, that the greenskins have developed a rather curious culture, although this will almost always exist simply to push their warpath ever onwards. Primarily, most orcs will belong to one of six clans, namely the Goths, Bad Moons, Evil Suns, Blood Axes, Death Skulls, or Snake Bites. These will shape each boy, molding their attitudes towards war and to life itself, whilst also fostering their own interests in several pursuits, which some may consider to be rather un-orky. But within this roster, we must acknowledge that there are several subcultures, which will similarly provide a new way of life to any orc who is drawn to their overall philosophies towards the galaxy. We previously covered the so-called Cult of Speed, who pervade the clan of the Evil Suns. But for today, my dearest friends, I believe that we should look into the ranks of the Snake Bites, where a fascinating cultural force has emerged, and they would be known as the Beast Snaggers. These are orcs who have almost entirely rejected all conventional forms of orky technology, preferring instead to return to the old ways, where they will exclusively live off the land, primarily relying upon their sprawling hordes of squigs to aid them in their day-to-day life. Rather than remaining in a singular established settlement, the Beast Boys will travel as roaming bands of nomads, riding into the sunset atop their caravans of squigosaurs and squighogs, always on the hunt for a new titanic creature to fall upon and slay. In battle, they have been known to eschew the rather crude tactics of their species, choosing instead to simply charge into the field as a relentless stampede, always aimed directly at the largest enemies in sight, who they will see as a worthy target to bring low. The subculture of the Beast Boys has only recently been redefined by imperial xenoanthropologists, but today, with their resources, I will attempt to investigate and describe these feral orcs in as much detail as possible. We will begin with an overview to their kind, focusing on the many interesting facets of their society, including their unique cultural practices, societal structure, and of their overall attitudes towards war. After, we will look into two of the most notable of Beast Boys, namely the Beast Boss known as Mozrog Scragbard, and of the famed Runt Herder, named as Zodgrod Vortsnaga. But in any case, with our goal in mind, I do believe that it is time for us to begin. We are to now don our crude disguises and to travel along with the great caravans of the orcs, but know that if we are to be caught in our journey, that we will surely be captured and fed to one of the many great squigs of the Beast Snaggers. To fully understand the nature of the Beast Snaggers, we must first delve into the broader psyche of the orcs as a whole. Perhaps more so than any other faction, The greenskins seem to hold a deep sense of devotion towards what they call as da old ways, a brutal adherence to the primal instincts and raw traditions which have defined their savage existence for near all of time. For the orcs, any notion of progress which strays too far from their innate barbarism is seen not as innovation, but as a bewildering betrayal of what it truly means to be an orc. Their minds are typically driven solely by violence and impulse, and as an extension of this, it is quite rare for us to find an orc who wishes to sit and ponder on the deeper nature of reality. It could be argued that the orcs are simply too dim-witted to actually ponder on the many questions of life. And so, if one of their kind was to come up with a novel idea, then they will be seen as indulging in un-orky practices, almost certainly leading to the other boys to clobber them over the head. With that being said, the greenskins can come around to accept certain breakthroughs if it directly improves their ability to wage their eternal war. Thus, if a mech was to invent a shiny new shooter capable of unleashing a truly monstrous salvo of Darker at their enemies, then the orcs will resoundingly agree that this was a good use of the Odd Boy's time and that he should keep tinkering within the bowels of his mech shop. Conversely, if a stubby little Gretchen sauntered up to the presiding war boss only to suggest that there should be a democratically elected Grot to speak for their kind, then this would be seen as an idea far too outlandish, and the dastardly little blighter would almost certainly be crushed under the boss's boot. This idea of rejecting modernity and returning to a traditional orky life seems to be held by the overwhelming majority of orcs, although none exemplify it, quite like the beast snaggers. They will see most of the recent advancements in their species, however meager they might be, as being antithetical to the orky way of life. And thus, they would rather live out in the wilds to be free from their boneheaded kin and their truly wild ideas. There is a saying amidst the Beast Boys which I believe best sums up their existence, and it would be that they must live off the land, go to find war, and kill whatever comes close. They are not interested in establishing a permanent settlement to dwell within, nor do they see the benefits in employing mechs to produce them new trucks, as these things are similarly viewed upon as going against their old way of life. Instead, they will typically order the Odd Boy to focus on building them crude pieces of armor, most often constructed out of the bones of mighty creatures slain during a great hunt. With that being said, every orc wishes to be bigger and meaner than anyone else. And so, the mechs will still be permitted to produce bionic limbs and to work with the mad docs to augment certain members of the tribe into cyborgs. This brings us to an interesting point, and it is one which most other orcs would be rather perplexed by. But it is that the Beast Boys are far less interested in the conventional vehicles of their kind. But we must remember that all orcs hold an innate need for speed. But this desire to go fast will not be achieved with crude vehicles and rather with squigs. Thus, if a mech was to proudly present to them with a war bike, then the irate boys would simply fall upon it with their choppers, crumping it down into a mangled mess of scrap, much to the dismay of the local Odd Boy. At this point, however, they would simply strap the ruined vehicle onto the back of a large squig, creating something of a chariot, or in the most extreme of cases, a kill rig. To briefly explain as to what a squig actually is, they are another variant of the orcoid species, being related to the greenskins themselves, though they are incredibly primitive creatures, possessing naught in the way of intelligence or even basic survival instincts. They are more akin to animals than anything else, and so the orcs will typically rear them with the intent of eventually consuming them for food, or to simply unleash upon an enemy battle line in the hopes that they will ferociously leap across the field to tear apart their horrified foes. For the beast snaggers, however, they see far more potential in the squigs, and so they will find the largest and meanest of creatures only to wrangle them into submission, before finally claiming it as their own personal mount. Most beast boys will aspire towards owning their own squig to ride, but inevitably, some will fall and be devoured by the creature in their feeble attempts to tame it. Because of this danger, the beast boy tribes will also maintain the healthy orc tradition of squig rearing, where runt herders will raise squigs of every variety, and if a boy can pay for it, then they may simply purchase a semi-trained squig from the local orc. In any case, with the boys now all set up on their squig mounts, they will venture out as a lumbering caravan, traveling between their hunting grounds in the wilderness to build up their supplies and to have a good fight. As I mentioned previously, the beast boys will not maintain any form of permanent settlement, and rather they will see their own convoy as being their home. The boys will eat, sleep, and plan out their future endeavors from atop their squig mounts. And whilst this may sound quite uncomfortable, we must remember that the orcs see this as the true way of adhering to the old orky lifestyle. And so, any divergence from this way of life will be completely out of the question. Several times now, I've mentioned that the beast boys have a rather keen interest in hunting. And in truth, we could consider this as bordering on the obsessive, almost to the point where it would be comparable to how the adherents to the cult of speed are wholeheartedly fixated on racing. Thus, beast snagger tribes will often take root after a band of hunting-obsessed orcs come together and abandon their old group, after realizing that their kin just couldn't comprehend the sheer thrills to be found in a good hunt. In general, the beast boys will always hold an innate compulsion towards hunting down the largest and meanest of creatures to be found across the galaxy. Nothing will get their heart pumping quite like the raucous pursuit of a prey animal, desperately crashing through the thick underbrush of a world, in their feeble attempts of escaping their inevitable fates, always to be granted by a vicious orc. The boys will similarly revel in cornering their target, and having the opportunity to clobber them down will simply grant them with a rush beyond compare. In the wake of their hunt, the boys will squabble and brawl over who gets to claim the largest of trophies, but in almost every case, the residing beast boss will step in and snatch out the bounty for himself. For some creatures, the orcs will need to ride atop their squigs to chase them down, and if the prey is too large, then the squigs will be let loose to attack, in the hopes that after biting their ankles, that the prey creature will eventually fall. This endeavor can be quite dangerous, and so the squigs and orcs themselves will often walk away from the clash with some truly grievous wounds, or even with a few missing limbs. In these cases, the beast boys will make an exception to their overall disdain towards the technological advancements of the odd boys, and they will actually permit a mad doc to augment their shattered bodies with cybernetic limbs. These are rather crude amalgamations of recovered scrap and machinery, which have been further improved upon with the addition of dense bones or hides harvested from the many creatures which fell during a hunt. If a beast boy is particularly fond of his personal squig, then he may even turn to a team of mechs and pain boys and ask them to fit a large engine or turbocharger into his mount. This is an incredibly risky affair, and it will often result in a few of the odd boys being devoured by the squig. But if they are indeed successful, then the beast will often end up being inexplicably faster than before. Turning to the boys themselves, we must realize that due to their lifestyle, that they are often considered as being generally tougher and stronger than of their slightly more civilized of kin. They have become adapted to their nomadic existence, and from each passing day spent under the harsh midday sun, their own hides will have grown gnarled, covering their dense musculature, built up from hunting and wrangling hundreds of beasts into submission. It has been noted that when the beast boys encounter other orcs, who have settled down in rather comfortable settlements, that they will typically flaunt their superior strength, most often by simply brawling and clobbering the weak little runts. It is important to note that the beast snaggers will happily classify an enemy army as being worthy enough prey to fall upon in a great hunt, though they probably won't end up with the same caliber of trophy from attacking an Imperial Guard regiment as they would from felling a titanic alien creature. It still won't prevent them from redirecting their lumbering caravans to get stuck in with the carnage. They will charge down their foes as a tremendous wave of squig-riding brutes, eager to crash into the enemy lines as a truly unstoppable force. Some of the boys will lob smaller squigs or Gretchen deeper into the battlefield, from where they will run about in a state of abject panic, often producing a great deal of disarray in the defenders' lines. Thus far, we have uncovered dozens of beast snagger warbands tearing their way across the stars, and as more time passes, we can be sure that greater and greater swathes of the galaxy will simply be trampled beneath the mighty stampedes of these brutish orcs. Now that we understand the concept of the beast snaggers, let us explore their nomadic culture in a little more detail. We should first acknowledge that there is a deep connection between the tribal orcs who have embraced this way of life and of those within the clan, known as the Snake Bites. I have previously covered this clan in more detail, but as a brief synopsis, the orcs of this group are typically seen as being rather backwards, since they tend to reject most technological advancements, preferring instead to rely upon more primitive methods for living off of the land. They are also well known for their squig-rearing techniques, which are second to none amongst their species. And so from these points, we can begin to understand as to why most beast boys will have once been a part of the Snake Bites. The actual reasoning behind leaving one's clan to join with a nomadic beast tribe will vary between each boy. But as we discussed in our last chapter, it will often be because an orc has an insatiable desire to hunt, which would have otherwise gone unfulfilled if he remained within his old group. Similarly, a boy might have felt that his clan had not truly embraced the old ways of the orcs, perhaps because they had adopted one too many of the mech's curious inventions. But whatever the reason, the orc will pack up his scant belongings in an old squig-hide satchel and set off into the wilderness, hoping to find a like-minded group who will aid him in carving out his own existence upon this world. I will briefly note that the urge to become a beast boy can arise in any orc, no matter their clan. And so it is not unheard of for a member of the Goths or Bad Moons to similarly abandon their kin in the hopes of forming a new life. We could imagine that it would be easier for an orc within the Snake Bites to suppress their urges, since they would already be in a rather primitive settlement. But it would likely be quite painful for an aspiring beast boy to live within a sprawling camp, particularly if it was controlled by a rather inventive big mech. In any case, once a boy has found a beast snagger camp, he will quickly fall in with the existing hierarchy, although I would not be surprised if he had to first prove himself as being truly devoted towards the old ways. At this stage, he might have to brawl with the other boys as a means of displaying his strength or by setting out on a hunt where the quality of his recovered trophy will stand as evidence of his abilities. This, however, is just speculation, as we currently have no clear records as to the initiation of an orc into a beast snagger tribe. But with that said, we do know that the orcs will always believe that bigger is better, and so each tribe will be led by a beast boss who has clobbered all others to now stand as the undisputed warlord of this barbarous group. Orc tribes are always rather fluid, and so a stronger orc may one day step forward to challenge him for the mantle of boss, or in a more extreme case, a rival tribe may simply envelop them during a war, crumping the majority of the boys whilst absorbing the survivors into their own ranks. The daily life of a beast boy will be one of constant motion, as their entire tribe will remain in a nomadic state, traversing the open wilderness, until they either enter into a hunt or a battle. None of their kind would ever suggest the foolish idea of settling down or constructing a campground, as it would simply hinder their ability to hunt down their prey. Instead, they will happily travel in the aforementioned caravans, consisting of potentially thousands of huge squigs, each topped by the boy who wrangled them into submission. Though the beast snaggers typically reject all conventional forms of vehicle, we must acknowledge that at the center of most convoys, we will find a truly immense scrap fortress known as a kill rig. These tremendous wagons will consist of a towering, multi-leveled platform large enough to fit dozens of boys and mounted weapons, all of whom will be pulled by the behemothic trampler squigs chained to the front. Aside from transporting the lowly boys, the rigs will also be equipped with weapons which would otherwise be too heavy to carry. For example, on the so-called Hunter Rig variant, they will be headed by a gargantuan harpoon, known to the orcs as a sticker cannon, which is known to be powerful enough to drag an imperial knight down to its knees. But in any case, as I mentioned, the orcs, who were strong enough to capture and tame their own squig mount, will ride them alongside the great kill rig, but we must realize that not everyone will be fit for carrying out this task. Some of the weaker boys will not have proven themselves as being worthy enough to ride a squig, and so they will be forced to sprint alongside the caravan lest they be abandoned out in the wastes. Some of the more unruly of boys will grow rather tired of this, and so it is not uncommon for them to try to jump up onto a squig to steal it from its rightful owner. But this very rarely ends well for either boy. As I mentioned previously, some of the other orcs may also take their squig and strap it to the front of a ruined bike or truck to produce a much smaller variant of the kill rigs, this time being fit for only one rider. Interestingly, the Gretchen and Grots of the beast snaggers are not viewed in the same disdainful light as in most other tribes. Instead, the boys will feel rather fond of the little blighters, often resulting in them being adopted as pets, at which point they will be affectionately named as saddle gits. If lucky, the grot might be granted with their own seat upon their master's squig, but most of the time, they will simply need to cling on for dear life, lest they fall into the mouth of a ravenous squig. The grots, who are yet to be adopted, will typically squabble with one another, perhaps to garner the attention of an orc. But as they fight, they will leap from squig to squig, often to the annoyance of the other boys. It is important to mention at this point that the great caravans of the beast snaggers are not to aimlessly wander through the wilderness, and instead they are typically guided by their own mystics, known as werboys. These are incredibly primal, weird boys, who are known to hold a distinctly potent affinity to the green energies of the Wah, granting them with the ability to unleash some truly magnificent psychic powers onto a battlefield. But beyond this, they will utilize their shamanic abilities to garner some form of insight as to the nature of reality, which will almost always be seen as a direct vision from both Gork and Mork. As they interpret this divine message, they will chart out a path for the beast convoy to take. And though they are rather mad, their guidance will almost always lead them to either a grand hunt or a great war. Such is their importance that the Werboys will often ride atop the kill rigs at the center of the caravan, partly to better spy out their prey, but primarily to lessen the casualties should they accidentally explode during their shamanic rituals. As you can probably imagine, the beast snagger tribes will be almost entirely dependent on maintaining a healthy population of squigs with which to propel them into a state of glory. For the boys, it is seen as something of a rite of passage to track down and capture their own great squig, which will then be tamed and mounted as their own personal pet. Understandably, this is shockingly dangerous, and even if a boy is successful, he will almost certainly walk away with a litany of scars and wounds. These are seen as a point of pride, however, and in fact the beast snaggers will typically not consider a boy as being a true orc until he has garnered an unhealthy array of scars and disfigurements, each of which will be accompanied by a boastful story told to the fellow members of the caravan. Now, not all of the squigs within a beast snagger tribe will have been caught in the wild, and rather, it seems that the majority of them will have been reared and trained by the orcs themselves. This is due to the fact that the tribe will require a vast array of unique squigs, which each serve a specialized purpose, and so it is more efficient for them to be selectively bred rather than hunted down. Thus, we will find mobile pens, within which big, meaty squigs will be grown for eating, alongside which fatty squigs will roll about, destined to one day be harvested for their natural oils, used to grease the many bionic limbs of the boys. There will even be tiny flying squigs, which will be painted up with crude messages and tossed into the air, hopefully to reach their intended destination, to inform a distant orc that he would be too weak to win in an arm wrestle with a grot. The pain boys within a beast snagger tribe will almost assuredly have their hands full, as it is incredibly common for the boys to tumble from their squig mounts or to suffer a near mortal wound during their fatal hunts. This, combined with the fact that they are often rather short on resources, means that the docs will need to get quite creative when it comes to their art of surgery. Thus, they will often resort to using natural materials harvested from the squigs to fix up their wounds. Squig hide bandages will be supported by splints formed of bone and tusk. And though it may seem rather barbaric, the boys truly do not care, so long as they end up living to see another day. I previously mentioned that cybernetic implants are quite common within the tribes, which might seem strange, considering that the boys will reject most technological advancements. Nevertheless, the docks will produce new bionic limbs out of scrap metal and beast bone, all of which will be stitched onto the boy with a mangled hair squig and painted over purely to conceal the fact that the injury is now very clearly infected. For the boys, there is very little in the way of luxury to be found within the convoys, but this won't prevent the orcs from attempting to personalize their squig mounts, primarily to reshape them into an even greater point of pride. The greenskins will trade with one another for squig skins, animal bones, and loose salvage, before passing their goods onto a mech who may cobble them together into a ramshackle saddle, which will hopefully make their long rides a little less uncomfortable. In addition, perhaps as a carryover from the snake bites, most of the Beast Boys will adorn themselves with small tattoos, scarified emblems, or even with primitive pieces of jewelry, almost always produced from the bones and teeth of a hunted animal. Whilst traveling within their great caravans, the Beast Boys will be almost impossible to miss. The thousands of boys riding atop their lumbering squigs will kick up enormous plumes of dust, whilst the actual grounds will quake and shudder from the oncoming stampede. The orcs care very little for the fact that this will alert their prey to their approach, for they can simply run them down and trample them beneath the crushing weight of their squigs. Similarly, the sight of their charging horde will only serve to fill their enemies with a true sense of dread, as they know that once the stampede reaches them, that the orcs will show them no mercy. Interestingly, the Beast Boys will often target the largest of enemy units, including great tanks or walkers, perhaps because their destruction will fill them with the same satisfaction of hunting a great alien beast. Once they have identified a hulking unit, they will typically fire dozens of harpoons known as stickers to the boys. Once affixed, the orcs will drop their weapons and begin to pull back on the rope, dragging their target down to the ground, at which point the rest of their convoy can charge forward, trampling and tearing it apart before stealing away a great trophy from their kill. But in any case, now that we have a better understanding on the Beast Snaggers, let us conclude by looking over two of the most notable of characters who have thus far been encountered within the 41st millennium. The first to investigate would be of the truly barbaric boss, who the orcs have fondly named as Da Monster Eater, though in actuality his name would be Mozrog Scragbad. Leading his own great warband from atop the colossal Squigasaur, known to the orcs as Big Chomper, he has grown to a point where he now stands as the true exemplar of what it means to be a beast snagger. There are none who have felled larger beasts, none with more bionics, none with a tougher skin, and none who enjoy a good hunt more than the boss. But Mozrog was not always a warlord, and in fact, he did not always hold the name of Scragbad, as at one point in his tale, he was but a simple boy, indistinguishable from the other greenskins in his motley little snakebite tribe. But he never found much in the way of companionship with his fellow orcs, finding that they would only provoke his ire with their constant bickering and brawling. Thus, Mozrog would typically leave the tribal grounds for many days at a time, finding far more comfort in the humble art of squig hunting over anything else. Every so often, he would lumber back to the camp, dragging his newest squig trophies, which only seemed to grow more extraordinary as more time passed. But his fellow orcs, whilst somewhat impressed by his hunting capabilities, couldn't help but notice that the boy was slowly becoming a bit strange, likely caused by his extended stints of tracking and thinking like a squig. In time, however, their tribe was to be absorbed into the colossal war of the boss named as Gobgrinder, who led the orcs towards the rather hostile world of Eowyn II in the aims of crushing a large war band of the Iron Warriors. Through their battles, the constant pounding of Chaos Marine artillery had seemingly awoken many of the subterranean megafauna of this planet, which fell upon both the orcs and Iron Warriors in a frenzied rage. Mozrog, however, was thrilled at this change of pace. He would happily set off on his own hunts, abandoning the war camps of his kin in the pursuit of finding only the greatest beasts of the world. Unfortunately, it was during one of these expeditions that a creature known as a Goliath Gutmore burst out from the grounds beneath him, swallowing both Mozrog and his trusty Squigmount in a single bite. Tumbling down through its gullet, the boy had miraculously survived, and as soon as he regained his senses, he simply hacked and tore his way through the beast's innards, eventually ripping himself out, whilst also killing the creature in the process. Though half dead, he managed to stagger back to the camp, dragging with him one of the putrid, bulbous eyes of the Gutmore. The residing war boss, Gob Grinder, upon seeing this trophy, decided that Mozrog was too valuable of an asset to lose, and so he ordered his own personal pain boys to reconstruct the orc with the finest of cybernetics, some of which had been constructed out of the recovered loot of the Iron Warriors. As he awoke from surgery, Mozrog had now earned the nickname of Scragbad, although it seemed as though his experience with the Gutmore had sparked a new fire within his battered green heart. From that day on, he was obsessed with hunting down an even larger creature than of the one which swallowed him, and so his travels are now set upon taking him from world to world in this constant pursuit for glory. One of these grand hunts led him into a confrontation with an untamable Squigasaur, a white whale which had captivated the mind of Mozrog for many days and nights. After finally cornering the beast, he spent 3 days clobbering and bludgeoning it into submission, though the other orcs of his tribe will claim that he broke the Squig's mind from but a single mean glare. As it so stands today, Mozrog is now at the head of his own war band, leading a group of beast snaggers who desperately hope to share in the glorious hunts of their new boss. The boys will fervently state that he can never die, but that in time he will turn his neck upwards and seek to hunt down the stars themselves. The next of the famed beast snaggers is an odd boy known as Zodgrod Vortsnagger, and he is to be considered as perhaps the finest of runt herders across the entire galaxy. It is quite rare for us to find an orc who holds any form of respect for the snotty little Grots and Gretchen. And yet, Zodgrod has found a great deal of success in breeding and selling his pesky runts off to the discerning bosses of distant war bands. Rearing grots has always been a rather ancient tradition within Orky society, although the greenskins will almost universally look down upon the runts, seeing them as pathetic creatures, fit only for carrying out menial labor across a camp. Zodgrod, however, holds a different theory, as he believes that both grots and squigs can be trained to perform far more complex tasks if coaxed with the proper incentives. In the beginning, within his humble snakebite tribe, he started to reward certain grots with fungal treats, provided, of course, that they had proven themselves as being stronger than their kin. Similarly, he would take juvenile squigs and inject them with a curious concoction brewed up by the local pain boys as a means to make them more receptive to his crazed instructions. This was seen as a fool's errand by some of the other orcs, but much to their shock, the runts of the tribe were now shockingly obedient, whilst also being far more proficient in carrying out their daily duties. As another strange point, Zodgrod did not have to follow the usual orky practice of bludgeoning his grots into submission, almost as if he had garnered some form of trust with them. Unfortunately, however, none of his fellow orcs saw the appeal of paying a premium for a group of runts, as in truth, many of them rather enjoyed the daily practice of beating and kicking the little blighters purely as a form of entertainment. One of the local big mechs, in fact, saw so little value in these so-called super runts that he rounded up a great batch of them, only to cram them down the vacuum tube of his shock attack gun. Enraged at this sight, Zodgrod charged at the mech, pushing him to the ground before forcing the boy to be fired out of the barrel of his own fantastical weapon. Though the rest of the tribe were rather impressed at this feat, they had now grown weary of his obsession with the grots. And so Zodgrod, along with his herd of obedient runts, were exiled from their camp, destined to now live out their short lives within the wastes of this world. This twist of fate, however, proved itself to be most fortuitous. Zodgrod quickly adapted to his new life as a freebooter, where he would travel from camp to camp, offering up his supergrots to any orc who would hear his message. Most of the bosses he encountered simply thought that he was a mad git. And yet, after witnessing the uncharacteristic obedience of the runts, they almost always pledged to buy at least a handful of the little blighters. In time, this resulted in the boy growing rather rich in teef, which he always reinvested into his grots. He would buy new concoctions from the pain boys, which when administered to the runts would only cause them to grow stronger and more aggressive than of their kin. He also commissioned a local mech to produce him a unique piston-powered weapon, forged for his own needs, which he has since named as his Grab Zapper. But now, in the current day 41st millennium, Zodgrod will traverse the stars, offering up his services as both a merchant and as a mercenary. As I stated, most orcs will initially laugh off the idea of grots being trained, but as soon as they catch sight of the obedient little blighters all lined up and ready to work, then they will be forced to reconcile with the notion that perhaps the runts aren't as pesky as they once believed. Similarly, once a war boss bears witness to the frenzied charge of Zodgrod's super grots, juiced to the proverbial gills off of his curious stimulants, then they will begin to realize that the runts may actually have a purpose beyond being used as cannon fodder. But in any case, as more time passes, and as Zodgrod continues to refine his super runt serum, we can be sure that his little grot army will only grow stronger, possibly to the point where they may be poised to launch a war of their own. Over the long years, the Beast Snaggers have emerged as one of the largest of cultural movements of the orcs, with their members openly rejecting any form of modernity, choosing instead to return to the teachings of the old ways. Aside from having embraced the bionic limbs of the mechs, they will overwhelmingly prefer to follow a more natural life, living off of the bounty of their hunts, whilst always remaining on the move within their great caravans. Though they are known to have an obsessive compulsion towards hunting, the Beast Boys are able to sate their urges and find the same thrills whilst out in an open war. The horizon of a battlefield will be occluded by the immense plumes of dust, kicked up by the thousands of great squigs, each topped by a proud orc who cannot wait to get stuck in with the largest of enemy units. In the wake of their victory, they will stalk the battlegrounds, carefully selecting their prized trophies before remounting their squigs and riding off into the sunset, almost certainly in the pursuit of a grand new hunt. With this, my dearest friends, we have come to our end. I thank each and every one of you for listening to this sermon on the Beast Snaggers in its entirety, but I must once again close this chapter on our tales. I will soon return with more lore at a future date, but for now, I must wish you all with a warm goodbye.